So we took communion together today, and we do that every month on the second Sunday at the month of the month. Just a point on the calendar to remember, to recall. But the reason why we do it first is that Jesus gave it to his disciples and said to do it. And so it's important as we grow as a follower of Christ to have understanding of communion. And we have talked and taught about communion quite a few times over the last few years, but I don't want to just take it for granted that we're all, you know, up to speed at the same time. So we're just going to talk very briefly to remind ourselves of what communion is and why it's important, why we observe it on a monthly basis. Communion in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, starting in verse 17, Paul is writing to a church that had gotten off track. They did a lot of things well, but they also did a lot of things unwell. And Paul is writing a corrective letter, much like a parent might for their kids, or really he was invested. He invested his life, his doctrine, his even sacrificed on a great level to be with these Corinthian believers. And they were in the middle of a pretty wicked culture. And so they brought a lot of that into the church. You know, they didn't kind of get rid of some of these pretty bad habits. But also they were a bit of hype, and they were a bit of showmanship and spiritual gifts, and there was a lot of selfishness and a lot of what the Bible talks about being fleshly or carnal, right? They just were kind of driven by human carnal desires. And so the process of being saved and being sanctified is that God's working that stuff out, but it seemed chunkier for the Corinthian church of working that stuff out. So Paul's writing this letter. And what he is saying here, starting in verse 17, is a correction. And he says in verse 17 of 1 Corinthians 11, "But in the following instructions, I do not commend you, because when you come together, it is not for the better, but for the worse. For in the first place, when you come together as a church, I hear there are divisions among you. And I believe that in part." So there's a lack of unity, and he's addressing that. "For there must be factions among you in order that those who are genuine among you may be recognized." I'm just going to say this really quick. I was kind of confused by this, and I looked at several translations and the wording of it. But what Paul is basically saying, you know what happens in a church where there's unholy people becoming holy, is that natural distinctions, divisions will actually evolve because you have people who are walking with the Lord and people who aren't. And you're going to see that. And so I'm writing to you because there are divisions among you, and I believe it in part because there must be factions. Because not everybody who goes to church is Christian, and not everybody who's Christian might be living but like it. And so Paul is saying this is kind of what happens when you got some people saying we're trying to live according to God and others who are just doing their own thing. You see it happen. It becomes evident. And so that's kind of the thought there of what he is saying. Because there are those who are genuine among you may be recognized. The reason why these factions are popping up is so genuine Christians become more evident. So you know if you're genuinely a Christian or not, or at least an obedient one. So he says, "When you come together, it's not the Lord's Supper that you eat. For in eating, each one goes ahead with his own meal. One goes hungry, another gets drunk. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or you despise the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing. What shall I say to you? Shall I commend you in this? No, I will not." And so he's challenging them. You're off track. And it's a hard thing to hear, and maybe easier to write in a letter. And the next letter, he comes back and says, "I wrote some hard things and came across as harsh. And now I just want to let you know I'm not a mean guy." Okay, but it was necessary. And he has to say this because it's necessary to correct what is happening in the church, because as people of God, we should be different. As people of God, the competing and the striving in a selfish way should not be the norm in the church. And so he says, when you come together for something that's supposed to remind you of what you have in common in Jesus, communion, instead you've turned it into this potluck that's kind of a free-for-all. And you got people who are eating whatever they want, and you got other people who are going without. That's not what this is supposed to be about. Let me remind you, verse 23, and he does. He says, "I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the blood and the body of the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself, then so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judged ourselves truly, we would not be judged. But when we're judged by the Lord, we are disciplined so that we may not be condemned along with the world. So then, my brothers, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. If anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, so that when you come together, it will not be for judgment. But the other things I'll give directions when I come, anticipating a future visit. I've observed four things here about communion that I would like to share with you. The first one is that it is a time of remembrance. A time of remembrance. He says of Jesus' words in 24 and 25, "Do this in remembrance of me." If communion is not about Jesus, it's just a ritual. It's just a cracker and a drink. It doesn't have the same punch. It doesn't have the same meaning if you separate it from Jesus. And Jesus is saying, "Do this in remembrance of me. Do this recalling what I did." And what did he do? That's the proclamation. "You proclaim the Lord's death until he comes," verse 26. I'm remembering that he died for me. I'm remembering that my sin requires me to pay God my debt, and my debt is my life. But Jesus himself died for me instead. And so I remember that and I proclaim it. And together we proclaim that as a church until he comes. It gives us not just a look back, but a look future. We're doing this. We're celebrating this until he returns. And then in that remembrance and in that proclamation, there is also an examination. Let a person examine himself. And that examination is what he says in 29, "For anyone who drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself." To discern, to understand, to have a knowledge of what you're doing. The communion table is open to all who believe. The communion table is open to all who put their faith in Jesus. And so we come to Jesus with that discernment, with that knowledge of what he did and what that means for me. And so I'm examining my heart, because he does say that there were people who were coming to the table, taking it in an unworthy manner. And I think that unworthy manner is both as unbelievers, but also, as we've seen throughout Corinthians, there was a lot of sin and carnality and rejection of God. There were not a lack of obedience to God. And God was disciplining people through the communion table. And that would freak all of us out if we took communion together and one or two or three of us went, I'd be like, I think we're going to do a communion service once a year. And we're going to have like 40 days of fasting and prayer leading up to it, right? I mean, but that's what Paul is saying is here. You guys are wondering why some people in your midst have died. It's because they flaunted. They lacked discernment. They lacked humility. They lacked faith in God. Whatever it was that they lacked, they came in an unworthy manner. They didn't come in light of the gravity of what Jesus did with his blood and his body. And so we're to come to communion, not casually, not flippantly. And that's why I also say, like, if you're resentful towards somebody, if you're withholding forgiveness towards somebody in your heart, that becomes a barrier to enjoying and receiving the forgiveness that God has extended to us through Jesus. And so we come with that examination. And I think we also have to put that in perspective and balance it with grace, because his grace is what makes us worthy to come to the table. And so I believe in Jesus, and I'm trusting his grace to fill in the gaps of my life, to make up the difference where the Bible says I fall short. He fills in that distance with his grace. But I keep my eyes on Jesus. I trust in him, and I'm examining my heart in light of that grace. And then that's the fourth word. And my clicker ain't working, guys, so you're going to have to do this for me, please. Unity. The table of communion is a reminder of the unity that every single one of us has because of Jesus. If you look around this room, there's about as many different backgrounds as there are different people in this room. There's not really a whole lot of things that would naturally draw us to one another. But here we are in this room, talking about Jesus, worshiping God, celebrating through communion because of what Jesus has done. And so we celebrate that. And in communion, there is that unity. And so we come together and we wait for one another. And that in that, we demonstrate love for one another as well. If you're writing notes down, write down Matthew 26, Mark 14, and Luke 22. Matthew 26, Mark 14, and Luke 22, where it also talks about Jesus giving the communion supper, the Lord's Supper, to his disciples. Matthew 26, Mark 14, and Luke 22.